College football. Big weekend, and that's the voice of the legendary Bill Hillgrove, who joins us every Thursday at this time. You can see Bill on the radio via our kdkradio.com stream. Good morning, partner. How you doing today?
I'm great. How about you, Larry? Looking forward to the weekend and looking forward to the Panthers trying to get back on track, because they got to put that last performance in the rearview mirror and move on. There's more season left.
SMU turned out to be a really good football team really fast, and it was all three phases of the Panthers team that disappointed, starting with the defense and then the first missed field goal of the season by Ben Sauls, some poor punts, and then the offense failed on third down a lot of times. So it was just one of those you just want to put in the trash and forget about.
Yeah, and it was a windy night. And you heard us panic when my offensive sheet for the Panthers, just the wind picked it up and took it off my board with the magnets and out the window.
Has that ever happened in your career?
No, but you know what? As old as I am, I'm still learning lessons. And the lesson learned, tape the stuff down and bring a backup sheet. So those two are fixed.
Well, Pat Narduzzi last night when we were doing – the coach's show, heard from Pat Bostic about this incident, and he was shocked. He said, well, that kind of just was what happened Saturday night. Yeah. Nothing seemed to go right for anything connected with Pitt football.
It was Murphy's Law for sure.
All right, that said, they're still 7-1, hosting Virginia's Cavaliers, 8 o'clock at Acrisure Stadium Saturday night. They're on a losing streak. They've lost to North Carolina, Clemson, Louisville, good football teams. So they're 4-4 coming into Pittsburgh.
And they've had their moments, and they're ranked in double digits in the conference, which is low defensively in all but two categories. So maybe the Panthers' offense can respond and, you know, get enough points to put the thing out of reach. That remains to be seen. We're in November football, Larry. It's time to finish the season strong. And, you know, November football can be a little different because of the weather. And I think that makes the ball a little harder and more slippery for the specialist. And you got to, you know, adjust to the weather and play in it. Both teams play in it. So it's going to be interesting to watch.
And then the following week for a noon kick, Clemson Tigers with Dabo Sweeney come here. And then they go on the road against a very good Louisville team and end the regular season in Boston against the Eagles. So there's four games left, Bill, at 7-1. They have a chance. Are they still, it possibly and certainly with the expanded playoff schedule in college football, do they have a chance?
Well, they're ranked 18th by the bowl selection committee, or the playoff selection committee. So, some teams in front of them have to lose. But in the meantime, you just have to keep winning and hope for the best. But right now, you know, you play for each other and you play to win 1-0 every week, as Coach Narduzzi has told his team.
Yeah, excuse me. He's really drilled that into them. We're with Bill Hillgrove. Let's transition. The Steelers had a bye week to rest up after a win over the Giants. They're on the road against a very good Washington Commanders team, and they added some talent, including a long-discussed wide receiver named Mike Williams. What do we know about him?
He's an excellent route runner, and, you know, I think the Steelers addressed that need patiently. People wanted them to trade for Brandon Ayuk and Devontae Adams and, you know, down the line. I kind of thought that being patient was the wise thing to do. And they didn't have to give up much for either Mike Williams or Preston Smith. So, you know, they'll help with the depth on the offensive and defensive ends of things. And let's hope for the best. I think they were correct in what they did.
Yeah, and he'll be ready to go on Sunday. By the way, that's a 1 o'clock kick. For the Steelers, it's funny because he said he was sleeping on Tuesday and he got multiple missed calls. The phone was vibrating. He said, I was feeling like my phone vibrating, but I thought I was dreaming. Five missed calls from his agent And then GM from the Jets told him, you're going to Pittsburgh. And he said he's very excited to be here in the black and gold.
Well, you go from a team that doesn't have much of a future this year to a team that still has playoff hopes and beyond. And, you know, I really think that was a wise thing for the Steelers to do. It was timely because it happens during the bye, and that kind of makes it less disruptive when new people come in. Adjustments have to be made. So I think I like the whole situation. The Steelers still have a lot to accomplish. And interestingly, Larry, tonight the Ravens and the Bengals will play their second division game against each other. And the Steelers haven't played anybody in the division yet. So it's a crazy, awkward schedule.
Yeah, and after the weekend with the Commanders, the Steelers will play the Ravens here. Then they're on the road for the Browns and the Bengals. So it's 1-2-3, and then the Browns come back around. So second half of the season about to kick off. And before you go, I got a phone call this morning from Saints and Sinners, where you were man of the year for a record third time just a few short weeks ago, and they want to donate, to get things started, $5,000 to your Santa's Kids Project.
Wow. That's remarkable. And what an evening it was. And you made the evening by being, as you are, the great Larry Richard, the fine MC with a great sense of humor who wings it as well as anybody. And that's one of the secrets. But, yeah, I appreciate their efforts and certainly look forward to our efforts for Santa's Kids to bring Christmas to kids that otherwise wouldn't have one.
And when is the event this year, Bill?
It's December the 9th at Xander's Palmieri's Restaurant on the Plum Monroeville Line. We start at 4:30, get everybody out there early, and we have a good time, but we raise some money for the kids.
Well, a $5,000 first start from Saints and Sinners. We thank their team. And, Bill, I'll see you at Acrisure on Saturday.
I'm looking forward to it, and I've put that game in the rearview mirror and that sight of my chart flying out the window in my rearview mirror as well.
All right, Billy, thank you.
Thank you.
The great Bill Hillgrove on the Big K Morning Show. And by the way, the pregame for the network on the Fan starts at 6 Saturday night. This time we check in with the food editor with Pittsburgh Magazine, Christy Graber. And you can see Christy via our stream at kdkradio.com. There you are. Good morning.
Good morning. I agree with that drink more beer thing. That's great.
Conserve water. Yeah. It's been a long time since we've been asked to conserve water in a November in Pittsburgh. In fact, I don't ever remember that.
No, I do not.
Well, let's talk about fun stuff while we're thirsty. SpaceX rocket carries science equipment designed here.
Pittsburghers are always doing out-of-this-world things. So a science experiment designed by three CCAC students is aboard the latest SpaceX Falcon rocket that launched Monday night from Cape Canaveral. It is one of 25 experiments aboard a robotics resupply mission to the International Space Station. And so this experiment, it aims to test how microgravity affects how a fungus breaks down a common plastic. And the hope is that it's possible to degrade this plastic quicker, making less waste in our world. So big things far away, but from Pittsburgh.
And all kidding aside, if this thing works, it would be a remarkable advancement because we have so much plastic, right? And they're always talking about landfills and the plastics getting into everything. So I'm rooting for them.
Yeah, stay tuned.
All right. Meanwhile, celebrate the season. Speaking of having a beer, the expanded sale of ready-to-drink cocktails with a fireside mule.
Yeah, so if maybe beer isn't your thing, two local companies have teamed up. Maggie's Farm Rum and Jackworth Ginger Beer have released the Fireside Mule. It's a carbonated mix of spiced rum and organic ginger, lime, and cane sugar. This ready-to-drink canned cocktail is like a cup of cheer with a refreshing zing. It's gluten-free and it's 8% alcohol. by volume. This collaboration celebrates the recent passage of a Pennsylvania law that allows certain retail outlets like supermarkets and convenience stores and beer distributors to sell to-go packs of ready-to-drink cocktails, which are ABV of 12.5 or less. So now you can go get it at your, you know, local Sheetz or something.
Yeah, these specialty drinks overall have really increased in popularity over the last few years, and they're proliferating. Yes. You can't keep track of them all.
And this one's a good one, and two great companies that I love individually, and now that they're together, it's just awesome. And they have a cute little skeleton on the can, too. It's adorable.
All right, this week in Pittsburgh history.
On November 5th, 1896, the first Carnegie International Exhibition was held at the Carnegie Institute in Oakland, and that is now the Carnegie Museums of Pittsburgh. Andrew Carnegie wanted to make Pittsburgh as famous for art as it is now for steel. The Exhibition of International Contemporary Art is the longest running event of its kind in North America. The 59th Carnegie International is set to be held from May 2nd, 2026. To January 3rd, 2027. So there are good things to look forward to.
You know, what a treasure, though. The people, sometimes when it's right under your nose, if you grow up here, you know about the museums in Oakland.
Every year, field trip.
My late father-in-law grew up in Oakland, used to say, Oakland's like Rome in the region. All roads lead to Oakland for culture. But in this case, truly, if you haven't been to the Carnegie Museum or the Gafe Gallery, there's so much to see, and
highly great cafe there too.
Of course, you would. All right, I'm going to put you on the spot since you're the food editor.
Okay.
Somebody going out this weekend wants to try something different as a restaurant choice. Christy Graver, pick one. You can only pick one.
I really like Alberta's. It's on Western Avenue on the north side. It was a food truck for a long time, but Bo has opened up as a restaurant. It's really beautiful inside. There's a brewery next door that makes a beer for them. It is wonderful.
Alberta's,
and it's pizza.
Alberta's on Western Avenue. All right.
Yes.
Thanks for the hot tip. We'll see you next Thursday.
All right. Thank you, Larry.
Pittsburgh Magazine, read all about it. Christy Graver is their food editor and does a phenomenal job. This is the Big K Morning Show. I'm Larry Richard, and in studio, our good friend Dr. Kevin Wong, who is a family physician, and he once led the entire organization in the state of Pennsylvania. Doc, good to see you.
Good morning.
Doc is a steady listener, and we had a conversation before about how difficult it was to get an appointment with a dermatologist. And doctor said there's a new device out that could really expedite the process in terms of physicians where you would go see your family PC, right?
Correct.
It would have this technology available that would be an early indicator for people when it comes to diagnosing skin issues.
This is the first device approved by the FDA in January of this year. And literally, it helps primary care physicians be at the level of dermatology to help diagnose and rule out skin lesions as possibly cancerous.
So if a patient comes in and has a concern and they can't get an appointment for some time, at least in the moment they know, or maybe flag an area. So we've asked our boss to donate his body to science, B.J. Comanchik.
Yes. Pre-tested on one arm, on the left arm.
Pre-tested, and it flashed, which is why I didn't mean to laugh, but of all people, Dr. Wong was just showing him how this works, and all of a sudden there's a giant red light going off in here.
So basically, the device is very simple. You can just put it on any skin lesion of concern, and it basically takes 5 readings on the same spot. I mean, no pain. He's not dying. He's not screaming. And it can literally give me within a minute a great idea, which aids my interpretation of what I'm looking at to see what the lesion looks like. And hopefully, like this, it will say monitor, which means if it's monitor, it's 97% chance it is not cancer. So that automatically would help minimize those people worrying about it and having to see a dermatologist.
I'm glad PJ's going to make it, Doc.
Thanks, Doc.
Through this process.
So they're definitely, you know, the levels that we have to look at, because the reason we think it's so great is that family physicians can have this device, which is simple. The company's making it very reasonable for us to get them. And hopefully people can get in for appropriate screenings earlier. And then the dermatologists have, because then they get to see the people who really need to be seen for major lesions that need to be excised sooner than later.
And you say this is just out this January.
It's just January. It was approved. I got the first one commercially available in May of this year by the luck of God. And because the person who was the marketing person is in Pittsburgh, and I'd spoken to him last year before it was approved.
There's always a Pittsburgh connection. And do you use this frequently?
We've used it in the office enough, and we've had people come to the office for it, because there's only two of us from Pittsburgh that even have one of these right now.
And you expect these, I would imagine there'll be a lot of physicians that would want to have this. And what do the dermatologists say?
Some of the dermatologists are concerned they don't understand what it is. They feel that it's a new toy, but clinically it's going to help them, because the ones they don't need to see, we're not going to be sending to them anymore. And the patients can be screened quickly, and the ones that are higher risk, hopefully they'll be able to get in sooner, because as you know, waiting for a routine appointment takes forever. And if there's really a concern of a lesion, you'll get them in faster than 2 or 3 months, which is ridiculous. When I actually had my second patient diagnosed with this, she ended up having a lesion that was 10 out of 10, thought it was malignant melanoma, tried to get her a dermatologist, still took 2 months for her to be seen.
Man.
So that's what's scary.
Yeah, so this is breakthrough technology here in Pittsburgh with Dr. Kevin Wong. And Doc, while you're here, I want to ask you about what you're seeing as a family physician presenting with your patients. We heard about, and we're talking about, walking pneumonia seems to be, the CDC says, 10 times higher incidence of cases this year than last at the same time.
We're just seeing all sorts of upper respiratory. The problem is, I think people are actually paying attention more than ever because of COVID and catching up, because we've always had people in the summertime said, oh, I just have my summer bug, or it's allergies. But now they're actually paying attention a little bit more, which is good, and realizing some of these people who are sicker should be seen sooner than later, because they didn't realize they're really carrying something that could be treated and get them out of trouble sooner than later.
What do you do for walking pneumonia if that is the case?
It depends upon whether you think it might be bacterial or viral. And so obviously you don't want to use antibiotics and things that are not appropriate if it's viral. And that's the important thing in this day and age. So it depends upon your risk stratification. And that's why if people are having symptoms much more than just your typical cold, then they should see their physician to make a determination.
How hard is it to see family physicians these days?
Not easy, but obviously if you have acute episodes, you should call them and they should be able to get you in for an acute episode.
That said, what are you hearing about COVID?
Interesting enough, our COVID have dropped off a little bit, but we had a number of them all fall and summer, and we are still seeing them. We are now doing more testing than ever. In fact, now the rapid tests we have, we'll actually look at COVID as well as flu A and B. And what's amazing is all summer, when we're testing people for COVID, a lot of them actually had flu concurrently. So this is a scary part for all of us, a new learning curve.
And speaking of the flu, flu season's just upon us now. And you still encouraging flu vaccinations?
This is the right time. I mean, my patients specifically, I always tell them I want them to get it 3 weeks before Thanksgiving, because that's the biggest time they're going to mingle and get into trouble. So literally, since Thanksgiving is late, you get that extra week, get it done now.
And is it possible to get both if you're looking for a COVID booster and the flu shot at
yes,
the same time?
You can. You can. It's interesting because a lot of people early on were afraid to get both. And amazingly, also in the past week, people are coming for the flu shot. We're going to get the COVID shot a week later. Said, oh, such and such got theirs the week before, had no symptoms. Give me them both. One in each arm.
And what else are you seeing in the office? Anything?
We have not seen much RSV yet. I mean, thank goodness RSV vaccination came out last year. So again, that is a one and done at the moment, but it is the right time of season to consider that if you are exposed to children at all, because they're the ones that will carry it home for everybody else. But it's also a good time to make sure everybody's catching up on their pneumonia shots, which we have fallen behind during COVID. People lost kind of catching up with those routine shots.
I'm going to look like a pincushion if I get the shingles.
Shingles as well,
shots
too.
Shots too, right?
Absolutely, but you don't want shingles. If you've known anybody had shingles, not fun.
All right, back to this special device. Where can people get more information or even physicians that might be listening?
You can look on their website, which is called DermaSensor. But interesting enough, the reason this was even triggered is Time Magazine yesterday named it as one of their inventions of 2024. So that's how significant this is going to be. And I think it's going to open up access for people to get their skin screened appropriately earlier, which will save time, money, and aggravation for everybody.
And you got it first.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Kevin Wong, who is in the Gannett area and also works around the region. I appreciate you coming. This is the Big K Morning Show. Thanks for choosing us. Getting ready for the weekend tomorrow. Weather-wise, carries us into this weekend in November. I mentioned the talent that's going to be here. How about, I love this.
Lots of it, too.
Iron Maiden at PPG Paints tomorrow night. Then you have Jim Gaffigan Saturday at PPG Paints, and country singer-songwriter superstar Casey Musgraves Sunday night.
And then you have the Panthers playing at 8 o'clock on Saturday night.
At Acrisure Stadium.
It's those Cavaliers.
Steelers are on the road in Washington.
That's an improved team. They're not the doormats this year that they used to be.
No, they're a good football team. That'll be a game. But I like our chances. And we got a couple of new players. And so we'll see how that goes. Mike Williams from the Jets, a wide receiver. And they got another rusher, edge rusher.
I looked up Mike Williams' career stats. He rang it up pretty good when he played for the Chargers, but then he got hurt last year, and the numbers dropped way off. So he's coming back from an ACL tear, I think. So hopefully he's on the mend and he can do well for us. We need the help at wide receiver. So I was going through my X feed today, as I always do while I'm at work. And I have a couple of fun accounts that I follow, and one of them is Odd Picture Pittsburgh, which is John Chalkowski's contribution on X.
Love his stuff.
Well, listen to this one. This is so cool about Pittsburgh. Does the name Mary D. Dudley ring a bell at all?
No.
She broke racial and gender barriers by becoming the nation's first African-American female disc jockey. She had a 15-minute show every day called Moving Around on WHOD in Homestead. Is that cool or what?
HOD?
Yep. And he's got a picture of her. She's a beautiful woman. She was a Homestead native. Several paragraphs about her life, what she went on to do. I can't recommend this X account more highly to you. It's called Odd Pittsburgh, again, authored by John Chalkowski. He uncovers these things you have no idea about. We have the honor of having not only the first radio station, commercial radio station in the United States, we also have, well, in the world for that fact, but now the first African-American female disc jockey in Pittsburgh, Homestead.
Can you imagine what it was like when KDK went on the air? And for the first time in history, in your home, you could hear, and it developed from the election returns of November 2nd, 1920.
Think about that time. Think about that time, though, Larry. How long you had to wait to know who was the president.
Right.
I don't know how long people had to wait. I'm sure it was days before they made it official.
And they called it the Roaring Twenties, and radio took off like a lightning bolt. And KDK was first. And then it was first to play music, first to football, baseball, you name it. We've done it.
And WHOD is part of that legacy.
Very cool, John Chalkowski. Yeah, you go down a good rabbit hole with his stuff. You read, and he goes on microfiche and looks at old articles and pulls photographs and pieces these stories together.
Always something new to learn.
It's incredible.